Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson, and this morning's title, the message today is entitled, The Trials of the Just. Biblically, a trial's intent is to test, to afflict, to trouble, to disrupt, to blur, to create doubt, to create confusion, to bring destruction, to oppress, to tempt, and to persuade someone to make the ultimate wrong choice, which is to reject God. Basically, the objective then of a trials is to separate the just from a just God. So you may ask, what is a just person? If you look at the definition that a Webster provides, a just person is a person who is reasonable, a person who is proper. An old meaning, a person who is faithful to the original, a person who is righteous, a person who is deserving, a person who is legally lawful. So when we talk about the just, we talk today when we, as part of our title, the just is implied to be Christ, as well everyone who walks like Christ, who is a Christian in a biblical sense of the word. Not as the popular saying today, because many people today call themselves Christians. Throughout the ages, people have claimed to believe in God, and yet they are not just. So the biblical definition of a just, it is someone who lives like Christ did. You know, the just face trials. And that is one of the things that disturbs a lot of people, because some people think that trouble should be to the troublemakers. But not so. Trouble affects all of us. Satan sends trials to everyone, to the bad, in order to motivate them to blame God. To the good, for the same intent, for the good to blame God, as if the trial came from God. So it's important for us, as we examine this in the scriptures, on the face of how do we understand trials as was portrayed by Jesus Christ himself and everyone else that follows his footsteps. When the just face trials, what is the just to do when he faces trials? What happens to you and I as a follower of Christ? What do we do? What must we do when trials comes in our ways? Because they are coming. They are present, and they will be present until Jesus Christ takes us out of this world to the promised land. His scripture teaches us that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. I like this verse very much. Yet, when we face trials, we often ask, we often wonder, why me? How many times we pray for healing and we don't receive an answer right away? And then we are tempted, we are tested to doubt. We ask ourselves, what is wrong with me? Why doesn't the Lord listen to me? And that is part of the trial. Searching for answers and learning to endure trials, we learn how God turns these trials into opportunities for good in our lives. We must understand, and I hope you do by now, that the trials do not come from God, ever. Because God trials no one, tests no one, tempts no one. Isaiah 43, verse 2, in a New Living Translation, has a very beautiful promise that I believe every one of us should even write this and put in somewhere in our desk, in our work, because it's a beautiful promise. Isaiah 41:10 also, but this one is 43:2. It says, when you go through deep waters, God said, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. Beautiful promise. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 10 and 12, also New Living Translation. Verse 10 says, God blesses those who are persecuted for doing what is right, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to them. God blesses you when people mock you and persecute and make fun of you and lie about you and say all sorts of evil things against you because you are the followers of Christ. Jesus Christ says, be happy. Be happy about it. Be very glad, for a great reward awaits you in heaven. And remember, the ancient prophets, they were persecuted in the same way that you do. Jesus spoke these words to his disciples as the just. And he is speaking this to us today because we also, as his disciples were and Jesus were, we also are target of many trials. The disciples and every follower of Christ since then are to expect trials because of our faith. It's because who we are. Trials are sent to us to try to convince us that we are not what we are. But as we stand the trials, our faith increases and our knowledge of how awesome our God is and how special we are before Him. These words bring encouragement. These words of Christ bring encouragement and comfort into our hearts as we remember who is in charge of our lives. These words give us reason to have peace because of His goodness and because of His sovereignty, even in the midst of hardship. Peter gives us a very good counsel as well in New Living Translation. 1 Peter chapter 1, 6 and 7. 1 Peter is close to the end of the New Testament. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, New Living Translation says, again, the same way Jesus said, so be truly glad. There is wonderful joy ahead, even though you must endure many trials for a little while. These trials will show that your faith is real. It is being tested as fire tests and purifies gold. Though your faith is far more precious than simple gold. So when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise, glory, and honor on the day when Jesus Christ reveals Himself to the whole world. Some other version says, in the day that Jesus Christ returns. We read last week, James 1, verse 2 to 4, which says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Remember Jesus Christ when he says, be ye perfect as your Father is perfect. Be good as your Father is good. So patience makes us perfect and complete, lacking nothing, as James conclude. For the just, yes, Jesus and all the ones who follow his footsteps. For the just, the Bible tells us that the trials are an opportunity for joy because they strengthen our faith and they provide spiritual growth to each one of us. It is during trial that we come closer and closer to God because we have no other place to go that is safer than his arms. What a blessing to be able to look back at a particular trial time and see how God has sustained us through it and how he has brought us closer to him in such a difficult moment in our lives. I don't know how many of you have ever going days and days without food, without a place to sleep, without anybody to call, anybody to talk to. We have going through those things, and I can look back and I can testify with absolute certainty. God was there. We could feel his presence, and that is what gave us comfort. And now we look back to those days, those moments, and as somebody once asked me, he said, wow, don't you wish that you could have changed that? And I tell them clearly no, because it was in adversity that I learned the best lessons of my life. God held my hand, and those days were actually great days, difficult days, but great days because it was investment for the future. Growing close to God by developing a strong faith is the ultimate goal of the just who perseveres under trials. James 1 verse 12, NIV, says again, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person, that just, will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him, to those that is just as he is. There are a few types of trials. I put a list of 7 types. First, loss. Satan takes things away from us in order for us to be desperate. We may lose our health. We may lose our possessions. We may lose relationships. We may lose trust, courage, faith, and the list goes on of the things that Satan may take from us. But that should not be ever a way for us to be defeated, because the one who provides to us always is the just. Second, reproaches. When Satan put us in a situation that we are ridiculed, that we are rejected, not reject because we are bad, but reject because we are good, because of our faith, because we want and we desire to be as holy as God wants us to be. Persecutions, harassment, and oppression, just because we believe and we want to live according to our convictions. How many times have you being discriminated or persecuted because you want to be faithful to the Word of God? Sometimes to even those that call themselves Christians, they become angry when we just want to do follow the footsteps of Christ and do exactly what God wants us to do with our spiritual lives. necessities. Oh, how am I going to be able to hold a job? How am I going to be able to buy this? What I'm going to wear? What I'm going to eat? How am I going to deal with my daily responsibilities? Number 5, distresses, disappointments, and deep hurts in our lives. Oh, this one here is very general and includes a lot of things. Tribulations, trouble. Every human being faces trouble, faces tribulations. We've all faced trials. Unusual pressures and challenges that we all have to go through daily. Sometimes it's so overwhelmed that we think that, where is God, we ask. Don't you worry, if you are just, He is standing right beside you. And after you go through the trial, you will be able to see Him hanging there. And of course, number 7, temptations. Every single thing that God asks us not to pay attention to, and Satan wants us to pay attention to, which are the opportunities to yield to our selfish desires. Temptation most of the time has to do with idolatry. And the great god of idolatry is self. Think about the stories from the Bible, my brothers and sisters, from all the pages of histories as well. Those who serve God faithfully, they always face terrible trials. They had to endure major trials in their lives. Let me give you just a few examples. Job, and let's not forget his wife. Yes, the book of Job is mentioned Job all the time, but let's not take it wrong, because it is him and his wife going through, because they lost their children, they lost their possessions. It was not just Job who lost them, his wife as well. And she has to rely on the same faith, the same tribulations, the same difficulties that Job went through, with the only exception that he had also on his flesh. But remember, her flesh, her children, they were killed. The children that she brought into this life. So yes, it was brother Job and his wife as well. What about Abraham, as was discussed in the lesson this morning? Abraham, a great father. Abraham, a father of multitudes. Basically, his name was Abraham, a great father, meant a great father, and Abraham, a great father of many nations. If God did not change his name, all that God did is add extra blessings to the original meaning of his name and made him a father of nations. Look how many trials, how many difficulties he went through in his life, in his existence. He was 100 years old when finally the promise of the seed, of his own seed, Isaac, was born. How many years he has to go through trials. Genesis 21 verse 5 tells us that. What about Joseph? Yes, Joseph. What about Jochebed? Oh, you don't know who she is? She's a lady that has suffered many trials in order to preserve the life of her son, the great Moses, who somebody else named her son. Somebody else has to go through life embracing her son and claim to be hers, Pharaoh's daughter. But Jochebed, in a few years that it was given for her to raise a great man, she put in his heart enough to carry him to the kingdom. And today he is in the presence of God. What about Hannah? Yes, Hannah, Samuel's mother, a mother of a great prophet. Just like Jochebed, Hannah also raised in a few years that she was able to have Samuel with her. She raised him to be always in the presence of the Lord all the days of his life, and he did. So Jochebed and Hannah create great men, raise great men that even to this day has influenced your life and my life. What about the great Daniel and his three friends, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah? What about Isaiah? Just to mention one of the prophets. Oh, we cannot forget Mary, the mother of Jesus. You can imagine all her life knowing for how long am I going to be able to have my son with me. John, which some people call Baptist, but I know that he has never been a Baptist. He was actually a Seventh-day Adventist who is called the baptizer. How he came, he played the role that it was God assigned to him, and he lost his life in a trial. He was, and he is, one of the justs. Jesus himself, the just, the apostles, and the list goes on, and many, many, many men, women, and children who are throughout the ages first persecuted and killed by the Romans, and then by the Roman Church, more than 150 million, all in the name of God. Actually, the God there is a small G-O-D, is what Satan himself that was using the hand of the Roman Church to persecute the just. Most of the people history remembers are because they face great trials. In fact, they are remembered because of how they face their trials. When we hear about John Huss, Wycliffe, when we hear about these men, they were burning public with so much hate against them only because they were just men. Had they never faced a major trial, we probably will not even hear their names today. And their names are in the book of the Lamb. Because they faced trials as a just. And their names entered the book of the Lamb. The Apostle Paul regarded this test also as an opportunity to grow spiritually. Instead of become discouraged and bitter when he encountered trials, Paul said he would glory in his infirmities so that the power of Christ would rest upon him. 2 Corinthians 12:9. I have a quote here that is the source unknown. He says, in adversity, we usually want God to do a removing job when he wants to do is an improving job. To realize the worth of an anchor, we needed to feel the storm. How do we deal with bad news? A doctor talked to his patient and said to his patient, I have bad news and I have worse news. The patient was very kind of stressed, but he said, okay, so let's have it. So the doctor said, with a pause, and very carefully he said, the bad news is that you only have 24 hours to live. And the patient says, I can't imagine what could be worse than that, doctor. So the doctor put his head down and said, I'm sorry, I forgot to tell you this yesterday. Yeah, sometimes the bad news can get worse. But for the just, it's just for a time. I said last week, and I'd like to repeat, Satan has only a moment, but God has eternity. To apply for today, I will say, Satan has a moment, but the just has eternity. The trials of the just. If you open your Bibles in Matthew chapter 4, it starts verse 1 all the way through 11. Let's quickly see the first trial that Jesus had as he was just baptized, after he was baptized, and the Father and the Holy Spirit, all three were there. He says, this is my beloved Son. So he was anointed in baptism for his mission for the next 3.5 years of his mission. And his mission was to reveal us the Father, to reveal to us how just God is and how we may become just as the Father is. As Jesus asked, you, my followers, have to be one with me as I am with one with the Father. So we all can be just together. So in verse 1, it says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the desert to be tempted by the devil. By the way, the word Spirit there, I don't know what version of the Bible you have in your hand. Most of the Bibles capitalize this Spirit, implying that it was God who took Jesus to the devil so the devil could tempt him. And since we already know that God tempts no one, we know that the Spirit here, it cannot be the Holy Spirit. I read more than 50 versions of the Bible, and I look all of them. And all the modern ones have a Spirit capitalized, and some even says the Holy Spirit. So I went to the Greek, the original. And the original, it just says pneuma, which means air, breath, wind, and also means a spiritual being, meaning it could be an evil angel. So it does make sense to say that as he was baptized, Satan took him to the desert to tempt him. So then it says, and when Jesus, had fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. Now, first thing that you need to notice here is the devil is never impatient. He waits. He waits for the proper moment when we are in the most vulnerable situation, then he jumps in. So Jesus was hungry at 40 days and 40 nights. So for 40 days and 40 nights, the Satan was complete silent. Wait, waiting, waiting, waiting. Now when the tempter, Satan himself, came to him and said, then when he was hungry, Satan came to him and said, now pay close attention to this, because this is the statement that becomes present in every trial that Jesus faced and every trial that you and I will face as the just, as we are justified in Christ, by Christ's grace. He says, if you are the Son of God, doubt. If you are the Son of God, if you are a child of God, if you really believe God, if you really God cares about you, why don't you do this? Why don't you prove? Why don't you pray and ask for a miracle? Why don't you open your Bible and put your finger and God will tell you, God will give you a sign. How many people are constantly tempted and fall for this kind of temptation when Satan is trying to say, if you claim to be a child of God, prove it. Command these stones to become bread. And it doesn't say here, but it's implied. He's saying, then I will believe that you are the Son of God. Then the whole world will believe, but you have to show it. Verse 4, then he, Jesus, answered to Satan, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Brothers and sisters, when you get your check, remember that. When you grab in your hand something that you claim to be yours, remember that. Man shall not live by bread alone, but the most important thing is to put God first and my needs second, and my needs will be always supplied by the God who provides. When you have received blessings, remember where those blessings come from. Number 5, then the devil took him and says, oh, he is spiritual. Let me take him to the holy city. And Satan took him to the holy city. And by the way, if you look all the trials of Jesus, Jesus always had some people who claimed to be religious close to him and take him to the holy city. So he was taken to the holy city. He was set on the top of the temple. And said, Satan said to him, if you are the Son of God, jump. Throw yourself down. And then the devil opened the Bible as well, of course, with a little twisted, just like some so-called Christians do today. They open the Bibles and twist the words. And by the way, the devil, who is the one who instruct them how to be misused the Bible, the devil did it first. It says, for it is written, and he quotes part of the Psalms 91. He said, he shall give his angels, talking about God, charge over you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. And that stone is the devil himself. So Jesus said to him, it is written again, you shall not tempt the Lord your God. Oh, Jesus could have continued here by saying, you shall not tempt the Lord, because we cannot tempt the Lord, and the Lord tempts no one either. Verse 8, again the devil took him up. Again took him up to the temple, now took him up to a highest mountain. I don't know what Mount Everest, what a mountain was, to the highest mountain, and showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. Basically, he put this huge picture in front of Jesus, and he did. He showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their glory. And then he said to him, all these things I will give to you if you fall down and worship me. Why would the devil think that all that belongs to him? Because our parents gave him the key, gave him the deed of this earth. And since then, Satan has been causing trials and trials to all the descendants of Adam and Eve, including you and I. Then Jesus said to him, enough, Satan. Yes, away with you, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Wouldn't it be wonderful? Wouldn't it be wonderful if every Christian, or those that call themselves Christian around the world, will pay attention to what is written, that we must worship only the Abba that is in heaven, not the one who is in Rome. That we are to worship only the God who is heaven, not the one, the God that we put in the bank. Not the one in the safe box that we may have in our office, but the God who is in heaven. We must worship him only. Then the devil left him, of course. He had no choice. And behold, the angels came and ministered to him. The Bible tells us that Jesus had basically seven major trials. This one that we just finished reading, the beginning of his ministry, and at the end of his ministry, when Judas finally betrayed Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus had then had six more trials. Three of them were quote-unquote religious by the Jewish leaders, by Jesus' own church members, church leaders, almost like a board meeting or a business meeting when Jesus was being judged. And three, by the Romans, by Caesar. Here are the results. All these six trials were carried out on Preparation Day, a day that they were supposed to prepare to honor Abba. Instead, they have Abba arrested. They have the just arrested. And they have the just ridiculed, tortured. From 2 a.m. to 10 a.m., these people did not sleep because they were so overwhelmed with anger and with hate. And for eight very stormy hours, they did not stop until they have their evil desires. They tried Jesus. Three Jewish religious trials were he was proclaimed sinner. First religious trial by the Jewish Sanhedrin. I cannot pronounce that. First, he was taken in the presence of Annas. In John 18, verse 12 to 14, the decision was he must be guilty. Let's execute him. Second religious trial before Caiaphas, Matthew 26, 57 to 68, the decision, death sentence, charged with blasphemy, because Jesus proclaimed to be the Messiah. Remember what Satan, the first temptation, says, if you are the Son of God, and here are Caiaphas saying he is guilty because he claimed to be the Son of God. Third religious trial, I cannot pronounce this name. He says Matthew 27, verse 1 and 2, and also Luke 22, 63 to 71, the decision, death. Then after they have their mockery of a trial with all the violations that they have, because they are so in a hurry to kill before the arrival of the Sabbath. They were more concerned about their religious rituals than the life of an innocent, just man. They gave them, because they could not kill him, so they gave them to the Romans. And then there was three Romans civic trials when Jesus was proclaimed innocent. So before his own church, he was claimed to be guilty. Before Caesar, he was claimed to be innocent. First civil trial, Roman Pilate, John 18, verse 28 to 38, decision, not guilty. Second civil trial, Herod, Luke 23, verse 6 to 12, decision, not guilty. Third civil trial, before Pilate again, John 18, 39 to 19, 6, decision, not guilty. But Pilate turned to the Jewish people, to the leaders, the religious leader that was. They want to crucify him at all costs. And they said, crucify him. Crucify him. In the New Testament, the trials of Jesus refer to the trial of Jesus before a Jewish judicial body following his arrest in Jerusalem after the betrayal of Judas. And prior to the trial before Pontius Pilate, it says that he was accused by his church, by his church leaders, and the accusation they gave him, they said that he broke the Sabbath by healing on the Sabbath, by being good to the people on the Sabbath. He was accused also to try to destroy the Jewish temple and claim to rebuild it in 3 days. Everybody knew exactly what he was talking about, but they distorted in order to make like he was trying to vandalize the temple. He was accused of practicing sorcery or witchcraft because he was healing, he was made perform miracles that nobody could explain, not even the church leaders could explain. So they say, if we cannot explain, let's call it bad. He was also accused of casting out demons. He was also accused to be, claimed to be the Messiah. He is then taken to Pilate, the governor of a Roman Judea, to be trialed because they said, he claims to be the king of the Jewish people. Now, if you look in John 18:39, Pilate explained to the people, you know, I will give you a choice. I already told you that I found this man not to be guilty, but I'll give you a choice. I have someone here, a thief, a troublemaker called Barabbas, literally called the Son of God. You can have him or this one, Yahshua of Nazareth, who also claimed to be the Son of God. So I have two before you here, one Son of God, another Son of God. You tell me which one you want. The people, the Jewish leaders there present, said, give us Barabbas. Give us Barabbas. So when Pilate told them that he found this man not guilty, that he was going to wash his hands of his blood, they threatened him. They said, this man claims to be king, and only Caesar is king. If you do not kill him, you yourself are working against Caesar. And can you imagine how Pilate at that time finally became scared? So Pilate gave in and gave Jesus to them and told them, here is your king. It is interesting enough, the Jewish people with all hate says, we do not have a king, but Caesar. Caesar is our king. Yes, the chief priests, they said, we have no king but Caesar. They chose between the king of the universe and the king of Rome. And Rome has been in power until this day and will be, as according to prophecy, cause trials to God's children, to the just, and to the end of days. So Pilate finally gave Jesus to be crucified. Let me illustrate. In 1924, two climbers were part of the expedition that was set out to conquer Mount Everest. As far as it's known, they never reached the summit, the top, and they never returned. Somewhere on this gigantic mountain, they were overpowered by the elements and they died. After the failure of the expedition, the rest of the party returns home to England. Addressing a meeting in London, one of those who returned described the ill-fated adventure, all the troubles, the trials, difficulties they went through, and some of them lost their lives in the process. But this individual who was speaking for the group said, he turned to a huge photograph that was of the Mount Everest that was in back behind as they were speaking to the media, to everyone. He has this huge picture of the Mount Everest behind in a wall. He turned to that picture as he was trying to speak to the mountains itself. And he said, he cried with a very loud voice, "Everest! We tried to conquer you once, but you overpower us. We tried to conquer you the second time, but again, you were too much for us. But Everest, I want to let you know that we are going eventually to conquer you. We will. For you cannot grow any bigger, but we can. We can, and we will." Jesus gives us a clear set of instructions about responding to those who make life difficult for us, to the challenges and the trials that we have to face as just, as the people of God. Matthew 5:44 tells us clearly, these directions are complete opposite of what we would do naturally. God tells us, the just, Jesus tells us, the just must love your enemies. By being just, you must bless those who curse you. To be just, you must do good to those who hate you. To be just, you must pray for those who disrespectfully persecute you and do all sorts of evil against you. Such responses would never be our typical first choice. But when we become just, when we are justified by God, by His grace, and when we imitate the just himself, Christ, we will reflect the heart of a just. Do not be overcome by evil, Romans 12:21 says, but overcomes evil with good. That's what a just does. I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me, Jesus said. Here on earth, you have many trials and sorrows and headaches and difficulties and temptation and testing and doubt. Your faith will be tried over and over again. But Jesus concluded by saying, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. And I must add to this, to the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, is as Jesus Christ says, so should you. dear brothers and sisters, it is my prayer to you that you live, imitate Christ, the just one. We will face trials, but because we are just in Christ, we will defeat them. We will overcome them. And one day, we will embrace the crown of everlasting life. God bless.